Think of the feeling you've had when your heart dropped into the pit of your stomach, or the anxiety over a situation of which you had no control or no idea how to confront. Think of a night where you tossed and turned all night as your mind replayed the same thoughts over and over and filled you with tension and worry. What do you do when you feel that you've reached the end of your rope? And when all you can do is hang on, and yet you fear that you might break at any moment. The problem of pain and suffering is one which challenges us all, and one in which we all face in various ways. And this problem is not something we will attempt to answer this morning, but instead, I want to direct our idea or our thoughts along the idea of praise, and to encourage us, even in the midst of moments of despair and struggle, to praise God. If you will, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's where we'll spend a good part of our time this morning, where I actually want to walk through the chapter with you. And to give you some context and setup here, Jehoshaphat is king of Judah. And we're told in chapter 17 that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the earlier ways of his father David. Now, Jehoshaphat is the fourth king of the southern kingdom. And, of course, there were a lot of bad kings. There are a few good ones. And so David was actually his great-great-great-grandfather. And so Jehoshaphat, he didn't seek after other gods. He didn't seek after the Baals. He walked in God's commands. And he's described that his heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord. And as 2 Chronicles chapter 20 opens, Jehoshaphat has just found out that he is about to be attacked by a coalition of three armies. And so let's see what happens here. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they're in En-Gedi." Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save.' And now behold, the men of Amnon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you."
Notice when Jehoshaphat is afraid, he seeks God's face. He declares a fast and he prays. And in his prayer, he recounts the covenant and the faithfulness of God. And he acknowledges his total and utter dependence on God. "We are powerless. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Let's continue reading verse 13.
"Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, 'Listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the battle is not yours, but God's.
Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you.
Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. We see God's reassurance repeated here. Do not be afraid, and do not be dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And remember that Jehoshaphat's heart is described as courageous in the ways of the Lord. And God tells him and the kingdom to stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. The people fall down to the ground to worship him while the priests stand up to praise him loudly. So let's see how it ends. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Amnon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come up against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Amnon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. None had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found among them in great numbers goods, clothing, and precious things, which they took for themselves until they could carry no more. They were 3 days in taking the spoil, it was so much. On the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Baraka means blessings. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat at their head, returning to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. They came to Jerusalem with harps and lyres and trumpets to the house of the Lord, and the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all around. This is why I love this story. This is the most amazing thing to me, that what trust and confidence Jehoshaphat has in God. And see how he displays it. He puts the choir before the army. And they go into battle singing and praising God. Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is praising on the front lines. And look what happens. The enemy armies destroy one another because of God. When the people come to the battle site, the battle's already been won. They have to take the spoils of war for 3 days. And notice this name, the valley of Baraka, or the valley of blessing. And they return to Jerusalem with great joy. Fear of God comes on the surrounding kingdoms, and God gives Jehoshaphat rest. So what about us? What is your battle? What stops you in your tracks with fear? What do you do? Well, consider Jehoshaphat. He turns to God. He fasts and he prays. He recounts God's faithfulness and acknowledges he is powerless with no idea what to do. But our eyes are on you, God. And God's message to Judah is the same message to us. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Stand firm and hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf.
May we, like Jehoshaphat, have such courage and confidence in God that we praise Him on the front lines of our own battles, that we put to rest the anxiety and worry and let God turn our battles into valleys of blessings. But if you're like me, maybe you identify more with your shortcomings than the power of God. Maybe we're more like the Father in Mark chapter 9, that he brings his afflicted son. And in verse 22 of Mark 9, he says in despair, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." And what does the Father say? He cries out, he says, "I believe, help my unbelief." And God in his mercy can still deliver us. Or again, I think about a favorite passage of mine in Exodus chapter 14. In verse 10, we see that the Israelites are at the edge of the Red Sea, and they're terrified of the Egyptians in pursuit. Let me read to you starting in verse 10 of chapter 14. "When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, 'Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness.' And Moses said to the people, 'Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent.'" It's the same message. Fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord. In that verse 14, "The Lord will fight for you, if only to be silent." In verse 30, we see the result. "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses." And notice what comes next in chapter 15. It's a well-known chapter because after this, after their deliverance, there is a hymn of praise for God's deliverance. And yes, these Israelites were scared and complaining and fickle, even after witnessing all the ways and all the things that God had done for them to bring them out of Egypt. And maybe you feel this way, weak and afraid and of little faith. May God in his mercy and grace deliver us. We just need to stop. Stop complaining, stop wallowing in fear, stop trying to fix it yourself. Whatever it is that you do in those moments, just be still. Breathe and know that He is God. Fear not, stand firm, see the salvation of the Lord. You have only to be silent. And may we come out on the other side singing His praises. So take a moment and in your own mind reflect. What's your fear? What's your battle? What's your burden? Or if you're in a moment of peace, think of a time of God's deliverance in your life. Recount in your own mind your own story of seeing God's salvation on your behalf. And maybe you are so fortunate that you have yet to face such fear, but you will. So fortify yourself now to be ready. In Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3, it reads, "But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." This passage has been put to music, and I thought it would be appropriate to sing it together now And folks seem to know this, so sing out if you do, or you can just listen to the words as well. But we're going to pull up this slide.
When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and the waves will not overcome you. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. For I am the Lord your God.
That you're facing. And in a congregation this size, if you were to go around the room and be brutally honest, we would hear all sorts of fears and anxieties. We live in a world that's touched by sin. And as we read the announcements, as the prayers this morning, there's so many things going on in the lives just here in the family of God here. Some right now are confronting the reality of death. There are all sorts of instances of pain and suffering that folks are enduring right now, some because of consequences of their own sin and some that have done nothing wrong. But if we went around the room, we would also hear of God's many blessings and the ways He has delivered. And may we be encouraged this morning to still praise God. And when we have nothing left, God is still there. And may we, like Jehoshaphat, seek the Lord, fast and pray, and recount His goodness. And may we be so bold as to send in the choir first to our battles. May we praise God on the front lines of our battles and watch for His deliverance and salvation, that our valley of the shadow of death may be turned into our valley of blessings. And when we identify more with the Israelites at the edge of the Red Sea, with the army of Pharaoh bearing down, may God in His mercy still deliver us in the midst of our weakness, so that we emerge on the other side singing His praises. And yet we know that the full experience of God's total deliverance is not completely experienced in this life. And understand what I'm saying here. We experience it now in part. We had the invitation and opportunity of God's grace to be delivered from sin and made alive in Christ now, as Ephesians 2 tells us. We have been justified by faith and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as we're told in Romans 9. But just as there have been martyrs before us, we may lose our lives for God's kingdom, or suffer various persecutions, or sickness may overcome our bodies and end our life, or take the life of our loved one. We may experience any number of sort of tragedies in this life, but God is just and God delivers. So that even if not in this life, we are delivered to the next, where our praise will continue all the more. And so may we praise God on the front lines of our lives today and the battles that we face, and look forward to continuing to praise Him into eternity, singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His steadfast love endures forever." I want to close with the reading that occurred, that was for today's lesson. And it'll be yours, and of course we'll offer the invitation, and if you have any need, we'll be happy to answer that need as best we can. So we'll sing after this, but let me close with the reading this morning. From Psalm 62, verse 5, "For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rest my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." If we can help in any way, come now as we sing.